Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery, where every death had a life and every life had a story. My name is Jenny Johnson.
Hello, and I'm Diane Hartshorn.
And I am super excited about tonight's guest. I get excited about all our guests, to be honest. We've never had like a bad guest or anything, but Lauren Rhodes is our guest tonight. And I was telling her right before we started recording that her book, 199 Cemeteries to See Before You Die, is one of the first cemetery books I ever purchased. And if you go way back in our archives to the very beginning of our Facebook page, and I think even our Instagram account, I don't remember because it's been several years now. The profile picture on there is actually a picture of me holding my copy of this book when I got it. So, and eventually once we had an official logo and everything for the podcast, I changed it all to that, but I had actually started all our social media accounts before we had the podcast even going. So, this is an absolute wonderful book, but we're actually having her on tonight in part to talk about her newest book, or that she edited. So she's not the author of the newest one. She's more the editor of it, but it is a fabulous read. It's called Death's Garden Revisited. And I want everybody who's listening to get this book and read it because I loved every single story that I read in it. And what's great about it, because it's short stories and essays that are written by all these people that have some connection to a cemetery or a grave. The emotions that you will go through reading their stories is fabulous. So with all of that said, we're very, very excited to welcome to our show, Lauren Rhodes, author, fiction and nonfiction, about cemeteries and more. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you much for having me.
I was excited when you started following our account on Twitter.
Oh, she was.
I mean, she's because not- I was like, oh my gosh, excited. Lauren Rhodes is following us now. So,
I'm on a mission to follow all the cemetery podcasts. So.
It was so exciting to me because I love your books and everything. So you just recently, and actually, Lauren is a member of the Association for Gravestone Studies, and they recently did this as their book club reading, The Death's Garden Revisited. Again, it's such a beautiful collection of stories that you put together for this. So can you tell us a little bit about how this book even came to be? I know there's a backstory to it. So if you want to tell us that and then how you came to update all of these stories.
I should have pulled the original one off. One of the first books we published, my husband and I have a publishing company, was a collection called Death's Garden. And it was originally meant to be just one person's photographs. And then I was going to write all the text, which now the hubris of that kind of blows my mind. But that was my plan. And then as I talked to people about cemeteries, everybody had a story to tell. And so it ended up being this anthology. Oh, I think there are 30 people in the first book. Really wide selection of stories, ghost stories and travel stories and famous graves. And it was the first book we did and I didn't know what I was doing. So I was never really happy with the quality of it. It's black and white. They're not glossy pages. And so I've always wanted to, do it again, do it better. So can I hold the book up?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Oh, look how gorgeous it is.
Yeah, it's a weapon. I mean, it's big and heavy, but see if I can find a good
picture. The photographs inside it
the photographs
gorgeous.
Turned out just the way I wanted them to.
Yes.
So they're beautiful.
It turned out perfectly. And and I was really excited to go to the AGS book club because not too many people have read it. I feel like the price has been a problem because it's expensive to do a book that's full color like this. So it hasn't been as widely read as I would like it to be, but to hear them and then to hear you now tell me how much you enjoyed it, it just makes it all worthwhile because I obviously handpicked all these stories. I love every story in the book, but more than when the books are all my work, I can kind of stand back and be, objective about it, but this one I can't be objective about. I really love it. So I'm really glad you like it too.
No, the stories, the pictures are gorgeous. It is well worth the price. I know it's pricier for some of these books, but you know what? Any book that has the quality of photography that you have in there, and all those color photos to go along with the stories, totally makes it worth it. But the stories themselves, because you collected them from so many sources and so many people, and there's a lot of very personal stories in there, which, really touch heartstrings when you're reading them. But then there's also the moments where you have that good little ghost story in there, or something a little different than just, the history like we tend to stick to on our podcast. So it makes a really good, and what I like too, because it's short stories and these little essays and things, you read one or two, you can put it down, and then it's easy to come right back to and pick up for the next story. So, and definitely a book that you'd want to display in your house. Like it's a, because it's so beautiful. So, as are so many of your other books, though, like you do a fabulous job.
Know, it's cemeteries. Don't take bad pictures. You know,
It's
they're
true.
so beautiful. It's really hard to not show them in a good light, I guess.
So yes, if you want to read these, and tell us a little bit about some of the folks who wrote the stories that you had in there.
Some of them are horror writers that I've known for a long time. In my secret life, I write horror. I have written a column ha in the past, have written a column for years for the Horror Writers Association newsletter. And so some of the people were people who filled in for me for the column. There's a story in there by Angela Yuriko Smith about performing a wedding in a cemetery, which was something I didn't get in the first book, and I felt that was a lack, because I wouldn't say a lot of people get married in cemeteries, but a surprising number. And Forest Lawn Chapel is busy with marriages, which I think is hilarious. You know, Forest Lawn is kind of staid and I don't know, very proper, right? I
More,
guess
yeah,
is a
more
good way to put it.
serious.
Right. But people are lining up to get married there. And so I was really glad to get that story. And there's a story about geocaching, which I know is a little controversial about, you know, whether it's, I don't know, respectful,
Respectful, yeah.
yeah, to hunt in cemeteries or on tombstones. I think he handles it pretty well in his story,
I think
but
so.
it, yeah, just one of those things. But the one that I struggled with, I guess is a good way to put it, is Paul Stanfield's piece about being an archaeologist, and his group is hired to move a cemetery. They're going to put a road through, and so it's we toned it down a little bit, I guess I should say. I originally published it at a magazine back in the day, and so I originally published it in the magazine in its full glory, and we kind of trimmed it a little bit. But it's straight up. You know, he's talking about bones and liquids and, you know, things that you don't think of, I guess, when you're walking through a beautiful cemetery. So I moved that essay around as I was trying to assemble the book. Originally, I thought I'd put it in the end. You know, everybody could have all the beautiful stories, and then we get to Paul's, and then I realized that I didn't want to leave people with that as the last image. So I moved it up to the front, and then I thought, well, it's, you know, people may read this and not read any further. So it's tucked in the middle now. But it was really good to hear AGS talk about it, and they kind of approved of the realism of it, which is good. You know, I think it's an important story to tell,
Oh,
because
yeah.
we keep finding all these cemeteries, you know, that have been built over or whatever.
Or sometimes it becomes necessary to relocate one. We covered one here in Colorado last year. It was a convent, and they had moved the convent itself, all that property got sold to be reused, but they needed to do something with the bodies. And originally I guess the developer had offered to go ahead and leave the cemetery part alone, but they decided overall to move them to where they've been burying everybody else since the 70s anyway. So they had to relocate an entire cemetery. And it's, I mean, that one may not have been quite as graphic, maybe, as some of what Paul's was, because it was a little older at that point, and I think more of it was dried out, maybe, but it's still something people don't think about. And even but even now, I think sometimes somebody gets buried in one place and ends up getting relocated. And depending on how many years or months or whatever has passed, it is not necessarily a pleasant thing to have to do.
Well, I've never been to an exhumation. I don't know if it's, standard process to open the coffin and
Right.
see what's
Definitely
there.
not.
But I know, in the past, whenever they moved people, that was really common. You opened it up and to look things over, and then somebody wrote in their diary about what all they found in that. So I think that Paul's story is like in that vein.
Oh, yeah. When you
Well, I
think
think,
now, I mean, a modern coffin is more solidly built than they used to be. So they're probably a little harder to get into now than maybe those old wooden boxes that we used to use.
Well, and then, of course, with the processing of embalming and that, but then I think knowing that information, people may not be so quick to, oh, let's just move the cemetery. They're all dead anyway. Let's just move them. There's no big deal. So I think having that kind of information is really, really important.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love the stories that you selected. And I'm sure you had others that you could have included, that you had to I can't imagine being in your position as the editor and then having a slew of these stories to have to go through, because the ones you selected are so wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
To have to say, okay, we can put this many in our book, so I'm going to pick these 30. I can't use these others right now. So I'm hoping, somewhere down the line, whichever ones couldn't be used right away, you might be able to use again later somewhere.
Well, some of them it was more complicated than that because some of the authors had more than one story, and so then I had to choose between, do I take
Oh.
Maddie's piece about being a tour guide, or do I take her piece about dressing up as a little girl and dancing around in the graveyard in the moonlight? Which story do I choose? So,
Well, you did a fabulous job picking those
thank
stories,
you.
because that would be a hard one to read. I mean, there's some very talented writers in that bunch of stories. So I could see where it'd be like, oh, I like this and I like this. So how do you pick? Or is it, a case of eeny, meeny, miny, moe in some cases? Be like, they're both good. Everybody will be happy with it. So what led you to become a writer in the first place? And specifically, what led you to start writing about cemeteries? Because I think you were writing fiction before you were writing all of these stories about our cemeteries that you now write
Well,
too.
I started out, as a kid, telling stories to myself. Which I think is really common. I think most writers started as children. And I wanted to be a science fiction writer, which, seems like a long way from graveyards, but that's what I studied. And then I started writing horror, and I met somebody who was publishing an online magazine. And they were looking for more nonfiction. They had plenty of fiction, but not enough nonfiction. And I said, I could write a story, a column about traveling to visit cemeteries. And I listed, I don't know, 25 or so that I'd been to. And they said yes, and I'd never done anything like that. I just walked into it, and the pay was really good. I did it for 4 years monthly.
Wow.
And it was excellent. It was like the best education because, the more I read, the more I realized, well, there's all these places like Mount Auburn that I haven't seen, so I need to start to travel. Originally we would travel and then there'd be a cemetery, we'd
You find the
stop in.
cemeteries when you travel.
Yeah. And then, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I gotta see Swan Point and Laurel Hill and Greenwood. I've got to see all these cemeteries. So we rented a car from Boston and just drove up, drove around, saw
Oh.
everything. It was the best vacation.
I bet. I love that. I love that so much, that the writing the column led to actually going to so many more of
Exactly.
these cemeteries. We've been building up our bucket list ever since we started the podcast, and we get listener suggestions and guests and everything in our list of cemeteries to one day visit, like all over the place too. I'm not it it's going to take several trips because otherwise it's going to be this like ping-pongy
Yeah, and we're so
thing
far
trying to
away.
get to all of
You were a little
them.
bit closer, but it's like we got to travel halfway across the country
Yeah.
to, I think most of ours are probably on the East Coast, right?
A
Well, I'm
lot of the
still.
ones we have, but there's some in the South that we've also
Well, yeah,
been
the
wanting to
whole.
go see.
Yeah.
So,
I still haven't done the South. I'm disappointed I'm not going to be at the AGS
I know, me too, this
conference.
summer.
I really wanted to go, but that just didn't work out. But there are cemeteries in Atlanta, and you could rent a car and go down to Bonaventure and then on down to Chapel
Oh,
Hill, or
great
just
idea.
keep going. So,
Those
yeah.
are definitely all on the bucket list to see. So at some point, although I think I was talking to my mom one time recently and I said, I think I'd rather do those particular ones either in the spring or the fall.
Yeah.
I as disappointing as it is that I can't make it work to go to the conference this summer. It's also summer in Georgia, so I'm not
Right.
disappointed about
Yes.
missing out on that part. Sorry, AGS.
Yeah, I went a couple of years ago when they went to Connecticut, and even at that, it was hot. I mean, I live in San Francisco, and it's
Oh,
coastal.
sweet.
It's cold
Yeah.
here in the summer, so I'm not used to that hot weather
Yeah, the
anymore.
first time I left Colorado was went to Charleston, South Carolina, and it was in August.
Oh,
It
geez.
was like 100
So
degrees,
humid.
100 degree, yeah, 100% humidity. I would tell people my eyeballs sweated. My skin was wonderful. Oh my God. And I get home like a week later, it dries up. But I don't think we would be out traipsing around cemeteries very much because it was just too hot. Spring, everything's in bloom right now back there. It would be so pretty.
I bet. So, out of the cemeteries that you have managed to get to, do you have a favorite?
See, that's like asking who my favorite child
I
is.
know. It's I have the same problem when people ask me that question too, because I have several favorites.
It varies. There's a columbarium out here that's called the Chapel of the Chimes, and
Oh, that sounds lovely.
it's gorgeous. The first woman who was a credentialed archaeologist, architect, let's try that, in California, designed it. And she's the same woman who designed Hearst Castle.
Oh,
Randall. Yeah. So it's kind of Moorish, Moorish-ish, and lots of stained glass and tile and just, tracery. And it's so beautiful. Then they do a big event on the solstice where it's a huge concert. There's maybe 25 different groups
Wow.
performing over the course of a couple of hours. And so you just roam around in this maze, and you come around a corner and there's somebody playing violin, and you come around another corner and
Oh,
there's a choir singing, and it's just amazing. It's an amazing place.
wow.
So that's my favorite.
I love these musical events that so many cemeteries have gone to hosting.
Yes.
Just because, I don't know, music among the dead just has a very romantic sort of connotation, I think. I mean, a lot of them listened to music, they were singers, whatever, depending on what how old your cemetery is or where you're at. So I love the idea of music in the cemetery
Well,
like
just
that. So I think
I
that sounds like
agree.
a
It's
fabulous event.
by the cemetery, even if you go to certain areas, I say it could be from the 30s or the teens, and you would have ragtime and all that, and 40s. You know where my brain's going. So that sounds so cool. I mean, because it's like music makes you feel alive, and I think
Well, and
that's just
contemplative, and
that is such a cool idea.
it is really cool.
I mean, they use music in movies to, elevate the mood of the movie or whatever. So it's the same thing. I feel like while you're in the cemetery and you're enjoying the artwork and the scenery and whatever else is going on in the cemetery, I love the idea of having the music at the same time. And
I want to go to Greenwood some year when they're doing one of
yes.
the concerts.
I think we talked about them, and yeah, it's definitely a something to go do because it's a big grand event when they do it. So it's definitely
They
something.
do a lot, yes.
Greenwood is busy. They are busy, busy in that cemetery all year long. I
Well, I
mean,
just saw that they had pictures from the eclipse. You know, people went up there to watch the eclipse. Oh, that's so cool.
Stand there in the cemetery with your glasses on, and yeah, that would have been cool. I was watching it from outside my office. It was not, I mean, it was fun, but it was not as fun as it would have been in the cemetery. But that was not an option for me this time. Maybe the next one. Maybe the time we get there. So tell us a little bit. So you've written Death's Garden Revisited, and of course I mentioned at the beginning of the episode 199 cemeteries to see before you die, which listeners and viewers, this book is being redone. It's coming out again in August, is that
At the
right?
end of August, yeah.
And it will now be 222 cemeteries to see before you die. So you've expanded on the cemeteries. But you also write a lot of fiction books. Like you said, you're a horror writer and you have some series. Do you want to share a little bit about some of those with our listeners for
Sure.
those who like
Sure.
for our listeners who are looking for something more beyond the cemeteries?
I finally wrote a science fiction trilogy. So I have a space
Yay.
opera that starts in a graveyard, because yes, of course.
Of course.
The first book is called The Dangerous Type. And it's a Hong Kong revenge, I don't know, space opera, I guess we'll call it.
I like it.
There's vengeance, there's space travel,
That
creatures. Yeah.
sounds good
I
to
love
me.
Star Wars, so I'm a Star Wars nerd. So I was inspired by that.
Think that's
Yeah.
cool.
And I've written a duet, I think is the fancy word for it, two book series with a friend of mine about an angel who falls in love with a succubus.
I saw that one on your website and I was like, I might have to check that one out because that was giving me Neil Gaiman vibes, The Good Omen.
Oh, geez,
Like when I was
high
reading the
praise.
description, because well, and I love that book. So I was like, I'm gonna have to read those at some point. Now they're on the TBR, which keeps getting longer and
Excellent.
longer.
Yeah,
But
like the list of cemeteries to visit grows at the bottom.
oh, I can
Exactly.
imagine. But that's okay. So yes, listeners, definitely check out the cemetery books, but also if you like horror or some of the other genres or now science fiction, now you get
Yes,
to
I
call
managed
yourself
to
a
work
science fiction
cemeteries
author.
into everything. So,
Hey, I like that instead of
I
just
think
being
that's
cemetery
awesome.
books. Yeah, I do
Never, it,
too.
it's never intentional, but the second angel book has a cemetery. I had a friend, my friend that wrote the book with me, was like me. The first cemetery books we bought were Culbertson and Randall's Permanent Californians. And they had a whole series of permanent Parisians and permanent New Yorkers and all of that, but permanent Californians was the first one I saw. And so he would take me to all the cemeteries of LA and we'd go with our little guidebook and try and find people's graves. So one night he took me to Westwood, where Marilyn Monroe was buried. And the sun was setting. It would have been really romantic if we'd gotten there on time, but we got lost. And so it was dark by the time we got there. And it was an amazing place. I've been back a couple of times. And Ray Bradbury is buried there now. He's a big idol of mine. So yeah, I managed to work that into the succubus novel. She and the angel, they
That
needed to
sounds
have a
cool.
date, first date. They might as well go to the cemetery. So,
I wholeheartedly approve of a first date in a cemetery. Why
nothing
not?
wrong with that.
Like, that's a great place to, I mean, there's been plenty of couples who, like you said, we just talked about weddings being in the cemetery. Actually, we have our friends from the Rebel at Large podcast, they were married in a cemetery. So when they finally got married. So I think that was great because that's something they love doing too. So what initially, because it sounds like you've loved cemeteries almost as long as you've loved writing, what got you interested in cemeteries to begin with? Like, where did that start for you?
My husband's a musician. And so the first time we were going to Europe, we were supposed to be going to Barcelona to do sound for a friend's performance. And the first Gulf War started as we were flying. And so we kept missing connections, and we ended up routed to London, where we had no plans to be and no guidebooks or money or place to stay or anything like that. And so we just kind of poked around. And one day we were in Victoria Station's bookstore, and I saw John Gay's Victorian Valhalla book about Highgate. And it just ticked all the boxes. There had been vampire hunters there. Some of the Christopher Lee Dracula movies were filmed there. And it was, overgrown and crumbling and amazing. And the book said, it was full of all these gorgeous photos, but it said, it's been taken over by the Friends of the Cemetery, and they're going to fix it up, so it's not going to be as ramshackle as it looks in these pictures. And we're like, well, we better go and see it now.
See it now before, yeah.
Before it's too late.
Exactly. So it was like a, I don't know, December. It was probably 40 degrees, but it seemed colder than that. And it was just my husband and I in the cemetery poking around. It's, at that time, everything was really overgrown. And so you turn a corner and there'd be an angel, and all you could see was like her hand pointing to heaven and
Oh,
maybe her
wow.
face, and the rest would be covered in ivy. Just amazing. And I kind of fell in love with the angels. And even now, I'm really hopeless. You take me to a cemetery and I'm like, oh, I just need to see one more angel. I could see her, and so I'll like walk the entire distance through some big cemetery because I saw one more angel in the corners.
I love it. Yeah, that would have been something to see. I mean, I'm sure it's still lovely to go there now, but I have the book and I have those photographs of it. It evokes, the secret garden and the whole, walking through all the ivy and everything that grows so abundantly in England like that. So what a great place to fall in love with cemeteries, though.
Oh
I
gosh,
love
I
that.
couldn't have picked better.
Highgate is one of these cemeteries. If you're going to fall in love with the cemetery for the first time, that's a great place to do it. Well, I'm so glad that the trip didn't work quite the way it was supposed to be.
Or it worked exactly how it was
Yeah,
supposed to be.
exactly. True.
Well, we were going to spend the first week in Spain, and then the second week we were going to go to France. And I'd had a friend who lived in Paris, and she said, you have to go to Paris-Chaise. We're like, sure, that seems weird, but okay, we'll go to the, Jim Morrison's there, we'll go look at Jim Morrison's grave. But it was the same sort of thing. It was just amazing, opulent and huge and
Did
full
you
of
find your
famous
angels?
people. I just we walked up to the center. I think it's Circular Avenue, and the Raspail tomb is up there. And it's the Dead Can Dance album cover. And I mean, I date myself, but I was like,
You're like, I recognize this. I know this.
yes, this is famous. I know that one. So that was, it was Highgate and Pere-Lachaise that trip, and I was just hopelessly lost at that point.
Yeah, I would have been too after both of those cemeteries. So, I mean,
Oh, definitely. Oh my gosh, yeah.
well, considering like the whole garden cemetery movement as we know it stems from Paris to begin with, like that's the first one right there. And you were there falling in love. I love
Yeah, well, that's why I
it.
had to go see Mount Auburn, because I'm like, all right, I see where this started. Where is it? And I've seen where it's gone, but
Right.
where did it start in this country?
Yes. Mount, it's so funny. For the number of times I've been to Boston, I've never actually gone to Mount Auburn. So I really do need to make sure I do that the next time I'm back east, because I've gone to so many of the other little cemeteries back there, but and Mount Auburn's not little by any means, but I haven't, we haven't, we just haven't thought to go there. We've always had other things on the agenda, so it always gets skipped. And
Well, that's going to be probably a whole
or
day, if
three.
not more. Yeah, exactly.
No,
It's not going to be, oh, let's just drive through it and look at. No.
that's not going to be one of those quick ones that you just pop in and
Right.
say hi real
Quick
quick. No,
buzz through
there's
it. Yeah,
a
no.
lot to see at Mount Auburn, but I will put it on the list for next time. Because it, like I said, for all the trips I've taken back there and all the stuff we've done, that's Mount Auburn just never makes it back on the list because we end up doing so much other stuff and seeing so much other stuff.
That would be a trip just in and of itself, just that cemetery.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah, so you got to sort of, it would be hard to squish everything else in and
Yeah.
do that visit justice. So.
Yeah. See, but now I could do that because I've done all the other like touristy stuff now in Boston, I think, pretty much, other than actually being on the USS Constitution. We haven't, every time we've been there, with the exception of one time, we're there on like a Monday, and Monday is the one day of the week they're closed to the public because that's the
Of
day they
course.
spend cleaning and maintaining the ship. And so then we can't go on it. So, and the other time we were there, it was just inundated with school field trips that day. Like, I think every school in the
Oh,
Boston area had their
yeah.
field trip planned that day. And we kind of looked at all the school buses and we said, you know what? That's okay.
No.
We'll skip.
Too
So,
many children in one place.
yes, I do want to get on there someday, but it'll happen eventually.
It'll happen.
It'll happen.
We're still trying to figure out how we could do this to how Jenny and I could travel together and
Oh, you need a grant.
just go. See,
Yes. I keep deciding, you know, I need a grant. I need to travel around the world. Have you had Tui on your podcast?
Not yet. We
Oh,
were just.
I love her, and I just seeing her do her trip is it's so amazing. I hope she's working on a book because I want to see all that stuff in chronological order, but she's going to all these places that I would love to see.
Yeah, no, she is on our list of folks to actually contact to ask to reach out to yeah, tell us all about her travels because she has seen so much, and she's probably in cemeteries more than anybody else with the amount of traveling she does. But I think it's fascinating too because she's getting to see some of the cemeteries she's visited, at least at maybe because we're Americans and we don't think about it, but she sees the major cultural differences in how death is
Oh,
treated in other countries. And again, we don't always think about it here because we tend to have sort of a same way of doing everything really since the Victorian era. I mean, it's changing. It's definitely changing now, but there's very much a sameness about death and funerals and burials and stuff that when you
Like
start talking about
procedures.
it in other countries and how they handle it, I love that cultural difference.
Yeah,
Just makes
I
you think
think
about.
we have that here too, but it's you have to seek it out.
Right. Yeah. You do have to be willing to go outside your own little box and explore the other, which I love doing because I love learning about how other cultures deal with death because it's different for everybody. And I think it's good to help people through the grief process and stuff when you know how other people do things. And
Well,
so,
Qingming is a big holiday in the cemeteries out here, and I don't know much about it. I haven't done enough reading, but I happened to be in a cemetery one by accident one year when they were celebrating Qingming, and it was really cool. It was really
oh, cool.
interesting. The dancing and music and fireworks and all kinds of celebrations that normally, the Protestant cemeteries or the Catholic cemeteries or whatever wouldn't indulge in all of that.
Right.
And then the cemeteries here make a big point. It's a big community event, and they invite everybody in. And
Oh,
so,
how cool.
yeah, it was really interesting. And so it made me think that I should kind of broaden myself and
And that would
visit.
be really neat to see.
Definitely. We've managed to cover a few different types of things on here on the podcast here, from burials to cremations to different types of ceremonies that are held depending on your culture or religious beliefs or whatever. And I always find it so fascinating just to learn what other people are doing and how they deal with death and burial because everybody has to deal with it at some point. So it just is so cool when you find somebody that does it just a little differently, or makes it
Gives you
less
something to
somber
think about.
sometimes.
Yeah.
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 Where it's more of a celebratory energy to it, instead of, like you said, the more Protestants and that, and Catholics, it's just pretty much they want to close, it's done. They don't want that contact anymore because
Right.
it,
Well, the point is not
whatever.
the burial, it's the afterlife.
Right.
And so.
Which is harder for us humans to kind of grasp for. I mean, we're supposed to try and grasp it, but it's
Right,
tough when
exactly.
you're still here
Yeah.
and you're still rooted to the earth. But no, I think it's awesome that you guys have that there, and that the public is invited to attend, and that it's, something that's being opened up and more on. This is where I wish school groups would take kids to the cemeteries for things like
Yes,
this more often. Is
that would be so cool.
yeah, I know some people might like, and I don't know how other parents would feel about it. My kids have been in cemeteries since they were little, so it's not a big deal to them. But like, I don't know how other parents would feel about having a school field trip to the cemetery. But I just think there's so many things that you can learn if you take the kids into the cemetery, and if you have a good cemetery setup with some good tour guides and things like that. I think it's a great experience for the kids. Gets them out, gets some fresh air at the very least.
Well, here, the only time they bring the kids to the school or to the cemeteries at Halloween is in October.
Oh,
That's true.
really?
Yeah. And then so it's all tied into Halloween instead
That's
of,
spooky.
yeah, exactly. They don't bring them when it's really pretty, like right now when the trees are blooming and it's all the Halloweeny ghosty stuff, unfortunately.
My daughter's classes in California, the fourth graders study the missions, the mission history.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, and so the mission here was founded in 1776, and so it's the oldest building left in San Francisco, and it has this tiny little pocket graveyard. So I was really excited. Can I go with the kids? Can I chaperone, go to the cemetery? And some of the kids had never been in a cemetery before, as fourth graders. It was a whole thing for them. And one of the first graves they noticed was a 2-year-old. And then they were running around trying to find the oldest, which child had died the youngest and who had the oldest tombstone. Did my heart good. But my kid has spent her whole life going to cemeteries. And so, she
Yeah,
was
we've
kind of blasé about it.
I think that those of us who've raised our kids in the cemeteries, I think a lot of them are that way. They don't think of that as an odd or scary place because we've been there to do other things other than to visit
Right.
a funeral. Like, I
Yeah.
think for some kids, the only experience they've ever had is if they've been to a funeral and they've been graveside, but they've never been there to enjoy. I do think it's cool that the kids you were with were trying to find the oldest ones or the who was the youngest when they died, as morbid as that sounds, but it probably helped them think a little bit more about history and how,
Exactly.
mortality worked then as compared to what it is now for a lot of people. So I think that's very cool that they got to have that experience. Yes.
Well, I was like, go look for angels.
Go find the angels. Tell me where they are.
It's really not a very big cemetery. So there's maybe 200 headstones left. I
Oh,
mean, it used to be much, much bigger, and this is all that's left. And it's kind of the greatest hits of, who was buried in the Mission Cemetery. They moved them all into this little patch of ground. So, we had a vigilance committee, where vigilante comes from, that took the law into their own hands after the gold rush. And so some of the victims of the vigilance committee are buried there. A lot of the Spaniards and Mexicans for whom the city streets are named are buried there. And so, I mean, it's really a fascinating little place, but the kids wanted to see children's gravestones, so.
I'm sure to them too, because infant mortality is definitely not what it used to be once
Yeah,
upon a
yes,
time.
definitely.
Many of them may not have ever experienced the death of a child. So the idea of a child dying is probably fascinating. It probably is weird to them and a little scary, but also fascinating at the same
Yeah.
time. I know one of the very first ghost story books that I can remember reading as a kid was by Mary Downing Hand. Mary, am I saying your name right? But it was the ghost was a little girl who was 9 or 10 years old in the story. And I think that was the first time it really dawned on me that there was a time when children died on a regular basis. Now, of course, her story is a little more gruesome. She died as a result of a fire and not an illness or whatever, but it was a little bit scarier ghost story than that. But a lot of her particular ghost stories, her ghosts happen to be children. So, but so do her living characters too happen to be kids. So it all kind of, they're written for kids. But I think for a kid to see a child's grave like that is probably very fascinating to them that, oh yeah, or they may have heard about it, or, you know, by fourth grade, they've probably read a little bit about that in their history lessons by that point, but it still doesn't sink in until you see that gravestone in front of you. Yeah.
That makes it so much more tangible when you actually are standing in front of the person either you read about or that time period you read about. It just makes it so much so real.
One of the cemeteries out here has a book club, and they read books about people who are buried in the cemetery, and then they go at the end of the meeting to the grave. And I just think that is such a great idea.
That
Oh,
is such a cool idea.
yeah.
I love that. Brings history to life, really. Like, that's, see, cemeteries have gotten very creative with their welcoming people back in to come and visit. Not just when you're burying somebody, but like come other times to visit. We do all these other activities, book clubs and concerts and tours. And they, I mean, I think, and it helps that you've written like your books about cemeteries, and there's more online now about cemetery. I mean, there's all kinds of social media groups devoted to different types of cemeteries and different cemeteries in general, and different things to do in the cemeteries. So I think it's become a definitely a bigger awareness that cemeteries are a really cool place to visit.
Well, which is great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think people realize that that's where most of our history is. I mean, we have the museums, we have places like that, but you have just the artifacts of maybe the famous people or the infamous people, and where the cemetery is everybody and the stories, because you see how a town could evolve, the history of a community, the poor, the you know, and how it went from maybe a poor pioneer town to a rich millionaire gold town with the sizes of the mausoleums and stuff, and then the military and all that. It's just, I think people are really starting to see that's where the history of a community is in its cemetery, instead of it being the place you stay away from. It's scary. You go scare your friends at night, or do other things. And I think people are really starting to see the value of a cemetery.
Which is great. You know, when I started, it was weird. You know, I felt, you know, you had to be really clandestine about finding the graveyards and poking around, and the number of little tiny graveyards in the middle of the, you know, up in the Sierras that my husband and I have poked around, and you know, the people who lived up there came by to like watch us and make sure we weren't up to trouble in their graveyards. And you know, that's good. I'm glad that they're
Yeah, I
keeping
don't
an eye
blame
on
them.
things. But now, you know, there are so many books and so, you know, so many resources for people who want to explore cemeteries. I think that's really cool.
I do too. And I just think it's cool that it's become something that, I mean, we still probably get looks when you say, I'm going to go spend the day in the cemetery, or I'm going to whatever. I know there are still plenty of people who look at me going, you're doing what? I tell you, it's the best place to go read a book. If you want to read and not have anybody talk to you, go to the cemetery. Take your books, go sit under a tree. Nobody's going to talk to you. Well, you hope nobody's going to talk to you. There might be somebody.
Maybe
Actually, I did scare a living person once while I was doing that. I was doing just that. in a cemetery that in the summer has longer grass because it's a mountain cemetery. And I was laying on my blanket and I was reading my book, and she and her son came around the corner and they were reading the headstones. And I moved my feet. She saw my legs sticking out and she thought I was a body. And she screamed so loud and I felt so bad. And then I sat up, which scared her even more. But I promised I was not a dead body or a ghost, that I was a real living
person.
See,
now that's the sort of story I would have put in Dell's garden right there.
I was just reading my book. But I did scare this poor woman.
when I travel with my friends, they know this is, you know, we had to visit a cemetery, but we visit a cemetery, they sit in a car, and I have to move my little feet as fast as I can to get in everything, because it's like, I don't want them sitting in a car, you know, so it's different. They don't get it.
Yeah, you need more friends, cemetery friends.
Definitely. That was the fun thing. Last year was my first AGS conference. And one of my favorite things about that whole week was spending the week with people who don't think it anything odd about spending hours at a time in a cemetery, or reading about cemeteries, or researching whatever you're researching on a cemetery, whether it's the cemetery itself or one particular grave or anything like that.
So cool.
That's definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just getting all the kindred spirits together. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
And learning so much from them too. I mean, I being able to sit in on some of the lectures and stuff and just listen to what people are interested in when they go to the cemetery. And then they develop this whole talk about that particular interest. Yeah. I think is so fascinating, because there's been stuff I would have never thought about until they mentioned it.
Now that they have the online track, the virtual conference, you know, people from around the world talking about their cemeteries. That is just the best.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. I'm a nerd.
That's okay. That way we don't feel like we're like alone anymore.
Yeah. You know, there's more of us talking about cemeteries all the time, and we're finding each other now, and we're developing a whole community. And it's not just a few of us. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of us that love our cemeteries for all kinds of reasons, which is fabulous. I love the fact that cemeteries for you make it into your books, fiction and nonfiction alike. So a cemetery is a great setting, even in the fiction stories. There's some of the best scenes take place in the cemeteries. So actually, when we did our Beyond the Grave event last year, it was based off of Dracula. And I specifically chose two different scenes from the book that happened to take place in the cemetery to make sure that they were part of the story that we told. Because to me, the way Stoker wrote about it makes you want to have that cemetery there anyway. And I figured while we were actually in the cemetery, we should talk about the cemetery in Stoker's book. So
when I love the fact that with your books on the cemetery, you are getting people to actually go out and travel. Cause I can imagine people picking up, the cemeteries to see before you die. And it's like, okay, well, let's just start going. I can see people doing that. Where we're going on a road trip, grab the book, and they probably
it's the best. Yeah. To see people's copies where they've like gone down the table of contents and ticked off the ones that they've been to is absolutely the best feeling. So great.
Yeah, I'm so excited about your expanded version of it coming out, because I want to see what you included that wasn't in this first one. And I will say your first book has on occasion been the reason we did an episode on a particular cemetery, because I read about what you wrote in here. And then I was like, oh, we're going to do more. One of them being the Coral Cemetery. I think it's the Coral Cemetery that you wrote about that's off the coast of Florida.
Oh, I want to see that one so much.
And I was like, because we did a whole episode on underwater cemeteries.
Oh, my gosh, cool. Yes.
And the fact that they specifically built one out of coral, like you can have your thing, your whatever they called it. I can't remember what they called them to put in the columns, but you can do that and become
that
part of the
so
coral
cool.
reef. I was like,
yeah,
that is such a cool concept. But yeah, if you go through our show notes, you'll see you're referenced a few times in them, because
definitely. She is.
I was like, what did Lauren have to say
times.
About this?
Yeah.
Well, when they came to me and asked if I do the update, Yeah, we negotiated. I said, how about 300 cemeteries? And they're like, no, it'd still be too expensive to publish, but you can have 23 more. Okay. So there were a couple of states in the first book that I had left out. And so I filled in all the rest of the US. There's at least one per state now. And
Oh, that's
the
exciting.
sunken cemetery in the Philippines got left out of the first book. The pictures are amazing.
Oh.
It was a Spanish colonial cemetery that, when the volcano erupted, sank under the surface of the water. And it's sunken a couple of times now. And so you can snorkel out there. It's all coral reefs. I think the water is only 5 or 6 feet deep, so it's really not that deep.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, just an amazing
There's
place.
headstones under the water, though,
Under the
because of
water,
the.
right? And the coral is just grown all over the headstones.
Mm.
And what else is new in there?
I don't
Crown
know how to
Hill and
snorkel, but you know.
no, I don't either, but I was like, I could learn to
I
scuba
that's what I'm saying. I
dive.
could learn to go
Yeah.
see a
Yeah.
cemetery under the water.
That definitely would be incentive.
Have you seen the cover? I have a postcard. I don't have the books yet, but
Oh, look at
I remember
it.
seeing it on your website. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Where is that cemetery that's
That's
on?
St. Augustine. St. Augustine, Florida. So this is the oh shoot.
Put you on the spot.
I know, I'm sorry, I should have figured that out beforehand. The Huguenot Cemetery
Oh,
in St. Augustine, Florida, where I also have not been, but I met the woman who runs the Friends group through AGS. So
yeah.
I don't have anything to say about the covers. They pick the covers, the publisher picks the covers.
Oh,
But
okay.
the first one was Highgate, and so that was perfect. And the second one is this beautiful picture of Huguenot Cemetery. And so yes, very happy with the publisher. They do a nice job.
Yeah, well, like I said, when I got this book, I was so excited because, again, it's a bigger book. It's got all these full color photos in it. And you did such a nice job of writing about each of these cemeteries. And to have researched 199 cemeteries, which I'm sure there were more than that when you started out
Oh
and then
yeah.
you narrowed it down, like that's a lot of research to have to
Well,
do.
it's just a it, so many had to be left out. I mean, I still I think I've only got maybe 10 in Canada, in all of Canada, and 5 or 6 in Australia. It's just it's
May
a
have to make like
crime.
a world anthology and just have one for each country at this point.
Yeah. That'd be great. Somebody needs to send me to research, and then I'll write about all this stuff.
So how long did it take you to do the first one? And then I'm sure the second one was a little bit, well, maybe it wouldn't be quicker because there was.
Yeah, the first one was pretty quick. I think we signed the contract in December, and I turned it in May.
Oh,
And
wow.
then there were a couple of, back and forths and all of that. But
Right.
yeah, it went pretty quickly because those are my cemetery books. I have a lot of books in hand. So yeah, I just sat down and did the research, and it was fun,
Oh, yeah.
trying to find places. I have a big collection of cemetery postcards, and so I'd go through my postcards and figure, well, I don't know anything about this place. I'll, put
Oh,
that in the
that's
book.
very
And
cool. Yeah.
yeah, the one in Florida off the coast, I discovered that in the National Geographic. I was like paging through some back issues, and they had a story about it. I'm like, okay, that goes in the book. So, and I was surprised with updating the text. I mean, the first book came out in 2017, and there were a lot of changes. With cemetery, we think of them as kind of static, right? But things change,
Oh,
and
yeah.
so the cemetery and Malachi, where Father Damien's buried, was closed because it was the the people had Hansen's disease, which is the fancy name for a leper colony.
Right.
And the people that continue to live there have already had, one plague visited on them. So it was closed for COVID and wasn't when I was updating the book. It wasn't open yet. And it's one of those places where you can only visit it with a tour, with a ranger to watch you.
Right.
You're not allowed to photograph the people that live there. But because Father Damien is buried there and he's been sainted, it's a pilgrimage site. And
Right.
so, there were a couple places like that where there'd been like major changes. The African burial ground in Manhattan.
Yes.
There's a really beautiful libation chamber, big granite
Oh.
building with a subway going underneath it. And so there are cracks now in the building because of the
Because of
constant
the subway,
shaking.
yeah.
Yeah. So it's not open, and they were good changes too. Waverley Cemetery in Australia was on a coast and they got hit really hard with one of the hurricanes one year and the cliff collapsed. And so they've rebuilt the cliff walk that runs along the cliff where you can stand on the edge of the cemetery and look out to sea. So there were good things too, but it was really interesting to kind of check back in with all these cemeteries 7 years
I
later.
bet. Well, and like you said, they're not stuck because things change all the time. So, and it's sometimes for good and sometimes not, but it'll be fun to read the new version and the updates and see what you've learned since then. I know recently I did a blog post for us and I had taken it from one of our old episodes and decide and I went back and looked something else up that we didn't include in the episode because I don't think the information had been available yet. And I learned more about it was one of the cemeteries in Connecticut. That's what it was. But I learned more about this mansion that was related to one of the families buried in the cemetery. And I know when we covered it on the podcast, some of that information that I found later was not readily available. And I was like, oh, I'm going to include this in this blog post
Cool.
because even if somebody listened to that old episode, which I know people have, but like now I know a little bit more than we knew the first time we talked about it because there's just people have done more research and then it became available online and I could learn a little bit more and share that information. So I thought that was kind of cool that I did that. And that made me go, oh, I need to go back and look some of the other stuff we've covered and see what's changed since we covered it 3 years ago. Because yeah, I learned something I didn't know the first time we covered it. So I thought that was exciting to do that. So I am definitely looking forward to your new book. But for our listeners, and we will have all of this linked in the show note, definitely get Death's Head Revisited. It's such a beautiful book. It really is. And like I said, because it's the shorter stories, you can read one or two, you can set it aside, go do the dishes or whatever, and then come back to it. Or
It's
you can
like almost
ignore
like
the
a
dishes and
coffee
keep
table
reading.
book.
That's fine too.
It's almost like a coffee table book. It's not just like a quickly printed soft cover book. It is a beautiful book.
Oh,
And
thank you.
the photos and the stories, like I said, you did a fabulous, or I don't know how you chose from all the stories that you chose from to make the ones that made it into the book itself. But I know, and I was trying to remember. It was one of the first stories in there too, and I just remember tearing up over it while I was reading it, and it just was that moving. And I was like, oh. But yeah, it's a little of everything. It'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you chuckle a little, and there's some spooky stuff too. So I like that you included all of that in one book,
It's
so you get
perfect.
a little
A
of everything.
perfect cemetery book.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do a event. We haven't yet done an event for the book because it came out in September, 2 years ago, and my dad was failing, and so I ended up having to go do family stuff. So in October, we're gonna do an event here in San Francisco. I'm
Ooh.
super excited because I get to hear some of the contributors read their stories for the
Oh.
first time. So that's going to be excellent.
Oh, that'll be so amazing.
Yeah.
And you have a couple of events coming up, speaking of events, where you're going to be with your books. So if folks are going to be there, if you want to talk about the two events that I know I read about on your website.
They're just two so far. I'm going to be at StokerCon in San Diego at the end of May. So I think the
I think it was
30th.
May 30th through June 2nd, I think is what I saw.
It's downtown San Diego, and I'm going to be selling my books in the dealer's room, and everybody that's open to anybody. That's not just conference members. So
And I
that'll
assume that's all of your books, like fiction
yeah, I'm going
and
to
nonfiction
have
alike.
all the cemetery books, and a couple one of the cover artists is going to be there, and so I'm going to
Oh,
take my
cool.
books
Neat.
in.
That
They
would be
did my
fun.
covers, and then it's the solstice weekend. I think it's June 22nd.
Yeah, I just was looking at
That
that one. That's
sounds right.
fabulous of
Yeah,
that.
in Sacramento, California. It's
Yes, June 22nd.
Mystique in Midsummer, I think is what it's called. It's going to be a huge market in the old Sacramento Cemetery, which is it's just this glorious, beautiful place. Sacramento was a predates the gold rush, but it was a really enriched by the gold rush. It was the last place that people could buy supplies before they went off to the gold country. And so the cemetery is just amazing. And they're doing this sale in the
I
cemetery.
think that
So
is fabulous.
I'm really excited about it.
I know. I may have to skip a day of camp or something.
That
Maybe
was my
Sacramento.
choice, is either I went to Sacramento or I went to the cemetery camp, and I couldn't do both. And so I'm going to
Well,
stay
and
with
this,
them.
the Atlanta just happens to be at the same time that I'm committed to helping with our theater camp here. And
Oh,
so
geez.
they could live without me for a day. We've already agreed costumes will be done the first week of each camp.
There you go.
It's fine. So, and to go shopping in a cemetery, I mean, if I could go in the cemetery where I can buy books and be in the cemetery at the same time, actually, my husband may not let me go now. Speaking of that.
Oh, dear. I mean, I know a cemetery that's just so much closer to you that possibly could do something like that.
I know. I buying books in the cemetery, like what's better than that? Not much,
And
not much.
I'll have a new one by then. I won't have 222 cemeteries yet, but I've been working on a book of essays that I'm calling a cemetery memoir.
I love it.
It's starting with being in college and roaming around the cemetery at night, and all up until last year by my dad's headstone. So it's
Oh,
kind of
wow.
my life in cemeteries.
Yeah.
So
Oh, that's
oh,
going
it
to be
sounds
lovely.
wonderful. Yeah, it does.
I hope so. I have a few more essays to write. So yeah, I should be like scraping in under the wire to have books in time for that.
For that. Oh,
It just sounds wonderful. It really
Yes.
does.
Thank you.
Oh, I look forward to that one too. So yes, we will make sure we link your website and everything in the show notes, and we are highly, highly encouraging people to buy all the books, but definitely, but definitely Death's Garden Revisited. I promise you won't be disappointed with any of it
Thank
if
you.
you purchase the book, because it's stunning. And I'm, you know, like you said, AGS, we all loved it there. Well, the book group there, I have not done the AGS book group only because of time. Like my time commitments are pretty much taken
Yeah, I
right
don't know how she does it, so.
now. So, but I read every time the newsletter comes out, I'm like reading to see what they're reading. And then I kind of go back and I usually read them. I just am not joining in on the discussions, but I'm sure they're fabulous. But thank you so much, Lauren, for taking time out
Thank
this
you.
evening to chat with us about your books and about your love of cemeteries. It's been absolutely awesome to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
I
it's
just love your podcast.
Oh, thank
Oh,
you.
thank you.
It cheers me up to hear about what everybody's doing and where all you've been. So
Oh,
thank
good.
you.
Because
Oh,
sometimes we tell
that's
some
really
depressing
cool.
stories.
Yeah, that's part of life, right?
Yeah. But sometimes I feel like we have to share them. And then when it gets a little too depressing, I go and try and find something less depressing to talk about that's still related to cemetery. So we try and balance it. So thank you.
So we thank you for taking the time to join us for this ordinary, extraordinary story. To learn more about the story we shared, please visit our website, theordinaryextraordinarycemetery.com, where you will find the resources we used to research this episode. And if you are watching us on YouTube, make sure to click the like button, the like thumbs up, and to subscribe and leave us a comment, because this all helps move us up in the YouTube algorithm. And also, if you care to donate or buy us a coffee, we have a link on our YouTube description. Or if you visit our website, the little coffee cup is located at the bottom left-hand corner.
And please don't forget to visit us on social media, where we share all kinds of cemetery photos, quotes, tidbits, and more. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery, and on X, formerly Twitter, at Ord Extra Sim. If you enjoyed this or any of our episodes, please consider leaving a 5-star review and a comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or our website. Your positive reviews and enthusiasm for our show help others who love cemeteries and history to discover us and our ordinary, extraordinary stories.
Until we meet again.